You are listening to Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. The next guest in this edition is Lou Jacobson, editor of Congress Now, which is part of the Roll Call family. He joins us today to talk about the runoff for the Georgia Senate seat between Republican incumbent Saxby Chambliss and his Democratic challenger Jim Martin, as well as the latest developments in the ongoing Minnesota recount between incumbent Republican Norm Coleman and his Democratic challenger Al Franken. And Lou, it's always good to have you with us.
Hi, Greg. Thank you.
Obviously, the voters are only weighing in again on the Georgia race. That's because in Georgia state law, there needs to be 50% plus one earned by the winner on Election Day. Saxby Chambliss came just short. He did come in first. What is Jim Martin trying to do over these past few weeks to convince voters that they should put him over the top this time?
Sure. Well, the challenge for Jim Martin is really twofold. Getting voters to the polls at a time when they've just finished a very, very long and exhausting campaign. Two, trying to get the energy of his supporters up at a time when the president-elect is already president-elect and is not actually on the ballot this time. He actually cut a radio ad, but really has not had a high profile in this race. He's been tending to trying to build his administration. And while he is on the record, I suppose, supporting the Democrat in this race, he has not taken a very active role.
What about Saxby Chambliss? What has been his strategy? What has he been stressing perhaps differently after Election Day than he was before?
Sure. Well, first of all, he was in a better position to start with because he did finish three points ahead, and he would tend to benefit because the general historical pattern is that Republican candidates do a little bit better in these runoffs because they've got a very strong core base of supporters, and they are somewhat more likely to show up at the polls for a sort of off race like this one, which is not on the same day as a lot of other contests. What he's been trying to do is basically make sure that his strong core supporters are still energized. So it's somewhat of a challenge given that they did lose quite significantly on November 4th, but it looks like, according to recent polls, he is a couple of points ahead. He did win the first time around, got very, very close to, but not quite 50% of the vote. So he is, I think, somewhere in the driver's seat right now.
Lou, those of us who follow politics, of course, on a day-to-day basis, understand that Democrats consider this seat vital because they're still trying to figure out a way to make the Senate filibuster proof, which would virtually render Republicans powerless for much of the agenda over the next couple of years. That's a little bit arcane to folks who don't follow politics day-to-day. So how much are these two candidates making a point of the filibuster significance of this race?
Yeah, well, I think both candidates are, to a certain extent, probably the GOP even more so in Chambliss' case. This is their one shot, actually. They have two shots. The state of Minnesota, that seat is also up. We'll talk about that in a moment. But certainly they are trying to make the case that in Georgia this is one way to give sort of a check and balance to a newly Democratic White House and a strengthened majority of both the House and the Senate for the Democrats.
And one of the reasons Chambliss failed to get 50% of the vote in the general election is because there was a relatively strong Libertarian candidate who gained about 4 or 5% of the vote, most of which most people would think would go to Chambliss. The Libertarians and more conservative folks might have been upset with Chambliss for supporting the bailout and a couple of other provisions. Is he likely to get those voters back?
I think he'll probably get at least some of those voters, sure, and that can only help him. Some of those voters may simply not vote, but I think that of those who do, he will probably get a majority of those.
Let's move on to Minnesota now. That race was extremely close.
Still is.
And still is following Election Day after the recanvassing prior to the hand recount. I believe it was Coleman ahead of Franken by just over 200 votes. Now it
Correct.
Appears that lead has grown a little bit. Where do we stand in the recounting process?
The most recent figures I've seen are that Coleman is up by 350 votes, give or take a few. They are not quite done, according to the most recent news that I've seen. They are still going through the counting the ballots, and they're I think around 10%. They finished all except for the final 10%. And what the Franken camp is saying is that a disproportionate number of those ballots are in relatively Democratic areas. So you might see the numbers narrow a bit. But the general thinking right now is that while it'll be extraordinarily narrow, the final gap, probably it's a pretty tough shot for Franken. I think Coleman has a slight edge here in terms of the likelihood of his getting his seat back. It's very hard historically, if you look at these recounts, usually the person who goes in as the leader tends to survive and maybe even expand their numbers. It's fairly unusual to find the challenger win. It's not to say that it can't happen, and the big question here is what they're going to do with a lot of these absentee ballots, which were actually excluded from the recount. That's that is probably going to go to the courts for further consideration, and then of course the ultimate Franken option would be to go to the Senate because it has final say over who the chamber sets. That said, I don't think that he would probably prevail there, despite the Democratic margins. I think that would be too toxic. It would almost seem like it's running up the score by trying to get that 60th or 59th seat. I think if it's fairly clear that there's a decent majority for Coleman, I think he will probably prevail.
Last 20 seconds here, Lou.
Sure.
Will there be an official winner of that race by the time the new Senate convenes?
I think so. I think by January, I'd be very surprised if there was not. I think it'll happen sometime later this month.
So we'll definitely keep our eyes on Georgia tonight and keep track of Minnesota in the weeks ahead. Lou, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Lou Jacobson is editor of Congress Now, a part of the Roll Call family. This is Dateline Washington.